Office Wife. The story of the girl who married her boss and of the girl who took over. Here is Marcia to commence a further chapter of Office Wife.
I would hardly have believed that a few minutes could make such changes in the course of events. At 4 o'clock this afternoon, I was driving my Uncle Cheseder Bendigo home from our flat. Jeff was going to the West Coast with his secretary, and I was going to follow a few days later, without them knowing, to make a tremendous scene and force Jeff to get rid of Stella Bronson as his secretary. Then, at 4:05, I tried to pass a huge truck against oncoming traffic. Now, I'm in hospital, Jeff isn't going away at all, and Stella Bronson is still his secretary, and there won't be any scene. It just goes to show you. Anyway, I've had dozens of visitors because there's not much wrong with me, actually. Even Harry Palmer just turned up. But the moment I told him that Jeff wasn't going away, he ran like a startled hare. I wonder why.
Aren't you pensive, Pet?
I was thinking about Harry Palmer. He left a few minutes before you showed up.
Why think of Harry?
Well, it was funny, really. There he sat on the end of my bed, chattering away. But the instant I mentioned that Jeff had insisted on staying here with me, he practically galloped off.
Oh, well, what's the difference? Listen, I thought Jeff was Benny Puller's man, body and soul.
Don't you believe it, Angela?
Jeff must have talked hard to avoid going away tomorrow morning.
He probably just said, look here, Benny, if you don't like it, you can give your account to someone else, and hung up.
Ah, a rugged individualist.
Pass me those cigarettes, will you, Angela?
Mm-hmm. Marcia, why did you want that invitation to the Eiffels?
I told you. To give me an excuse not to go with Jeff and Stella.
Kind of threadbare, wasn't it? Especially as you weren't going to accept. Come on, Marcia. You don't generally hold out on me.
I was going out to the coast after Jeff and Stella had been there a few days.
What did you expect to catch them doing?
Nothing in particular. Just so long as I had an excuse to make a frightful fuss.
And who, my poppet, were you trying to get out of the way?
Jeff.
Or Stella?
Stella Bronson, of course. I want Jeff to kick her out.
Oh, but darling, that's impossible.
Why is it impossible?
Oh, sometimes, Marcia, you're not a scrap rat. Jeff can't fire the Bronson woman for several reasons. One of the main ones.
Ah, come in, Harry. Come in and sit down, will you?
Thank you, sir.
How long have you been with us?
Just on 8 years, Mr. Fleming.
Just on 8 years. I suppose you're looking forward to handling some accounts yourself by now, eh?
Well, I've had two for some months, sir.
Huh? What? And Wood Tobacco, United Talk Suspension, Hendricks, Pilgrim, Amber, Pilgrim. Of course, yes. Waldron, Hartley and Company, Palmer. Yes, of course, yes. And very satisfactory, too. Well, now, I suppose you know what's happened here since this time yesterday.
Well, I know Pilgrim cancelled his interstate trip on account of Marcia's accident.
That's what I want you for, Harry. Now, Jeff's a good man, one of the very best, but that doesn't say he's going to handle the Puller account forever.
Benny Puller's account?
Yes. Get hold of all the figures you can on it and start finding out how it works.
Do you actually mean that you're taking the Puller account away from Jeff Pilgrim and giving it to me?
Well, not exactly yet. But if Puller doesn't calm down, I think he'll say, put a man in charge of my account who can come and go without fussing about his wife all the time. Puller's one of these chaps who think nothing should interfere with business. His business.
Yes, I think I understand, Mr. Fleming.
All right, Harry. Keep your fingers crossed. We should know one way or another in a day or two. You can pass me that folder as you go, if you please.
Yes, certainly, sir.
Thanks. Keep this to yourself, mind. Not a word.
Oh, not a word to a soul, sir. Well, this is rather quaint. Here I've been shifting heaven and earth to get rid of Pilgrim, when all the time I only had to relax. The Puller account, eh? Smooth operator.
Move. Come on, Millie, shake it up. I can't park here.
Sorry if I kept you waiting, Harry. It was Mars Hendricks with about 6 trunk calls at 5 to 5.
Well, come on, hop in, hop in. Hi, Seth.
What do you know, Puppet? I'm getting the Puller account.
No! Oh, what's the matter with Jeff Pilgrim?
His wife's the matter with him. Puller's getting fed up.
Over all that shopping and changing with the plane and hotel bookings.
Yeah. It's the second time Jeff's messed Puller about, and this time, on top of everything else, he decided he couldn't go at the last minute.
What's wrong with Marcia, anyway?
Oh, nothing. A bump on the head you could get any day of the week and a couple of bruises.
Hmm. You think Jeff would be able to get away if that's all that's wrong with her?
Millie, my little poppet, you don't know Marcia. She lies back on a hospital pillows with a pink ribbon in her hair and a sweetly uncomplaining expression, putting up with it, oh, so bravely.
What? With just a couple of bruises?
Well, I haven't actually counted them.
It's a pity they don't make her run along home and do the housework.
Ah, no. Not while Jeff's around to smooth her furrowed brow. Anyway, that's the upshot. Off with the old, on with the new. Pilgrim out, Palmer in. With a hidey high and a hoady ho, and a yo ho ho and a bottle of rum.
Have you gone off your trolley, Harry Palmer?
Oh, no, puppet. I'm feeling kind of happy. Now then, what say we go to Fig Tree Street, eh? I'll buy you a dozen oysters, steak, an inch thick, and anything else your pretty little heart desires.
Gee, you're cute, Harry.
Millie, please. Not cute. Anyway, you're not worried about Stella Bronson anymore, are you?
I don't suppose so.
Good girl. Oh, but here's a tip. See that you watch out. Be very careful with Miles Hendricks. Do you understand? Don't take any liberties with Miles Hendricks, because he's the only person in the firm besides you and me who suspects what we're up to. Now remember, Millie.
I'll remember.
Now, do you catch on to what I told you yesterday, Marcia, darling? How can Jeff get rid of Stella Bronson, even if he wanted to, which I doubt very much?
It really never occurred to me, Angela. The position he's in.
There you are, you see. The advantage of a liberal education.
Hmm. The advantage of having divorced 3 husbands.
That's what I said. It's the same thing. So do be wary, Marcia. I'd hate to see you hurt, too.
So would I, the way you were.
And to avoid it, my dear, never believe a word you're told, especially by your husband.
You don't have to go now, do you?
Jeff will be along soon.
Oh, not for half an hour.
Oh, well, I'll just make sure I dodge him and run along anyway. Keep your chin up, darling. I'll drop him tomorrow.
Cheerio, Angela.
Oh, hello, Angela.
Hi. Look, Marcia, doing work.
Well, how are you, beautiful? Well, there's more colour in your cheeks than there was yesterday.
I haven't run into any trucks today.
Where's Jeff?
You in about half an hour.
Look, I can't stay long. I just dropped in on the way to Fig Tree Street. Can I sit here?
Yes, yes, do. Listen, Harry, I'm so glad you're here.
Huh? Isn't Angela good company?
Yes, but I want to talk to you about Jeff. You see, it's only just dawned on me why Jeff won't fire Stella Bronson when I ask him to.
And what's the reason?
Well, he can't, don't you see? He went to her flat that night and then to your flat another night when you couldn't get back till late. And goodness only knows where else he's met her. So if he says, look here, Stella, out you go, what's she going to do?
Reach for a meat cleaver?
Oh, fool, I'm serious.
Yes, I know. Stella would go straight to Mr. Fleming or your Uncle Tressiter and say, gentlemen, Mr. Pilgrim is a cab star.
Yes. Isn't it horrible?
Well, I come to mention it. It is rather horrible.
I say, you're alone, aren't you? There isn't anyone waiting for you.
Oh, no.
Then wait here and help me talk to Jeff, would you, Harry? You've always been such a good friend of his.
Not me.
Oh, but why?
There are two things I never do, Marcia. Drop matches into petrol and butt in between husbands and wives.
No. All right, suit yourself. But if you're here at the hospital by yourself and you're not doing anything, are you positive there's no one waiting for you?
Marcia, darling, I don't have to tell you 6 times, do I?
Harry Palmer, you think it'd only be 5 minutes, and I'm not going to wait all night. Oh, hello, Mrs. Silver.
Oh, all alone, eh, Harry? You frightful liar.
I thought I told you to wait outside in the car.
Well, I'm tired of waiting.
All right, I'm coming now. Get downstairs. Cheerio, Marcia. White lies pay, generally.
Don't make excuses to me, Harry. I don't care who you spend your time with. Bye-bye. And thanks for dropping in.
Oh, it's a pleasure. I'm sorry I can't stay. Millie, you're an unmitigated little pest. Do you know what I should do? I should grab you with both hands and wring your neck.
That was rather interesting. Not the fact of Palmer being out with Millie Moffat, but the way he lied with such superb, smooth effrontery. If he tells lies about a thing like that, he'd tell other lies, too. I wonder if he's ever told me the truth about my husband.
We invite you to listen again to further episodes of Office Wife, written by L.J. Hardy, a Donovan Joyce production.